Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is CQI versus innovation, Catch 22. Our guests for today's show are William Morgan and Sandra Palumbo. Bill is the Executive Vice President and CIO with the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and Sandra is the Program Manager for Global Enterprise Services with Yankee Group. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
So are you guys seeing the fall colors yet? Has the fall arrived?
Not quite. Not in the Philadelphia area yet.
In Boston, it's getting there. It's getting there. We've started to get some chilly nights and, you know, starting to see a little bit of leaf changing.
Great. So we should soon be wearing our jackets and, you know, kind of starting our life again here. So coming to the topic today, continuous quality improvement, that is CQI, and innovation, we would like to do both at the same time, and that's why we wanted to pick up this topic and discuss. We see that while we keep them two separate, but in a way they are synonymous. It's the way I like to see it is like innovation is CQI on steroids. Is that true?
Well, you know, I think that you know, they're a little separate in a sense that I view CQI as more of an ongoing process and innovation perhaps a little bit more spontaneous. But there's no question. I think you need both, and I think you have to have effective ways to allow them to coexist.
So, Sandra, what do you say?
I definitely agree with Bill on that one. I think that innovation, you know, you want to, when you're, innovation is very important for businesses and they need to continue to improve and gain productivity efficiencies and things like that. But you need to do that in a logical way and in a way that you're taking into account good quality and improvements and processes, and that needs to be part of any innovation plan.
One thing which I've seen is that if you innovate once and then wait for 2 years, that innovation loses its value unless otherwise you are on a continuous pursuit to be innovating, maybe not in that big bang way, but in even in a smaller way. If you keep innovating, that's what keeps you ahead of the curve, and that's what allows you to meet and beat the expectations that executive management is always going to put on you to do more with less and get the best TCO and the best ROI out of IT. So if you're doing that, then CQI and innovation must be taking a piece of your brain every time, that which one is allocated to what and how do we keep the stability in place, but at the same time, we are not becoming antiquated either. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think, Sanjog, as you know, at a stock exchange, it is a very mission-critical environment. We can't have any downtime. We lose a tremendous amount of business if our production quality is impacted. But by the same token, you know, the world, as everybody knows, of stock exchanges has become highly competitive, has seen a tremendous change in terms of exchanges merging and going public. The competition is fierce. So, of course, you have to balance the improvement side, which has all kinds of processes associated with, I like to think, change control, quality assurance, and testing, system life cycles, you know, all those things that help you continue to add quality and keep improvements and things stable, all play a key role in that. And that obviously has to occupy a huge amount of time in not just my thinking, but that of my senior staff and those responsible for delivering product and those responsible for maintaining the production stability of our operations. So on the other hand, though, in an environment that is changing as rapidly as ours is, you constantly have to be in some ways reinventing yourself and reinventing some of the components of the business to compete. And with that, of course, comes innovation. And without being innovative, without being forward-thinking and proactive, you put yourself at competitive risk. So it's a balancing act. I don't know that I've ever measured what occupies more of our time, but I'll tell you, they definitely have to be on parallel tracks, and you definitely have to be paying attention to both of them. Some, one you might pay more attention to than others. For example, if we have a big production system release coming in, obviously we're paying more attention to quality and improvement and stability. If, on the other hand, we're in a strategic planning session and responding to competition, we're thinking a lot more about innovation. So it's really a balancing act.
Sandra?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that sentiment. I think something that businesses really need to do is as they are making, you know, they need to know what. No business can do everything they want to do that's going to be on their planet at the same time, and they're going to need to prioritize projects and initiatives and keeping in mind the needs of the business. You know, you can't do a major upgrade if it's going to risk your business, you know, being down for any period of time, because then, you know, companies like Bill's will lose a lot of business if that happens, and that's not, just does not make good business sense. You have to measure and manage the needs of the business versus kind of what technology advancements and innovation can do for the business, and do it in a way that makes sense for all involved, and that is manageable for an IT staff and for the, you know, the technical folks within an organization that are going to be responsible for implementing this. And it also needs to factor in, you know, who you work with, what service providers, what vendors, what solutions a business is adopting, all of that needs to be taken into account. And, you know, a lot of the research that we do here at Yankee Group, we ask, you know, how does a service provider's competence in terms of, you know, various frameworks, industry frameworks like COBIT or ITIL or ISO, is that a factor in service selection or service provider selection? And most of our respondents to our surveys say that it is either very important or extremely important in that service provider selection. I think that allows them to ensure, or at least try to ensure, that quality standards are being met when they are innovating and implementing new products and services.
Now, there is a third angle to it, which is like preserving IT investments, existing IT investments that we used to tout quite a bit in the past when we were saying, hey, we are short on cash, let's not unnecessarily innovate, or there was a lot of cash burnt in IT with not that much value delivered. So if we are talking about CQI, or we talk about innovation, we are changing things. So with any change comes the risk, and I'm not trying to be a pessimist here. At the same time, we have to make sure that if there is something which is running in a stable manner, there is no incremental, investment in it for you to touch it. But would you still go ahead and touch it? Like, you got a mainframe-based payroll package which is running for 20 years, which is churning out payrolls like you always wanted. Why would you touch it? But just for the sake of CQI or innovation, would you go ahead and rip it apart and say, let me get the latest and greatest technology in there?
Well, you know, I think on that one, and you obviously have to have, weigh the cost-benefit, not just in terms of the financial component, but also in terms of the risk, the benefits to the business. And I think the answer to your question is, you go in and change it when the benefits, and they could be efficiency, they could be competitive benefits, they could be financial benefits, when those benefits clearly are justified and outweigh the risks of doing that. I think, that's a very high-level answer, but that's the answer that I think that applies and certainly governs how we do things here at the Exchange. I mean, typically for us, most of our change is either because of us being proactive and trying to respond to competitive threats or to regulatory demands from the SEC, and efficiency. And I think, you weigh those risks and benefits, and when the benefits clearly are there and outweigh the risk, that's when you do it.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with Bill on that. I think a statement that he made is very important to think about, and that is to be proactive as much as you can. I mean, you don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want to be put in a reactive mode where you have to jump into action and implement a new application or a new system because the old one that you were using broke or all of a sudden failed to operate and perform the way you needed it to, and that just causes even more drama and trauma within an organization. And so, you would need to keep an eye on all the different systems and applications you're using. And even if something is working well, it might be a right time to make an investment in it or make a change, even if it's nothing's going wrong with it. But that's something that the business needs to look at. But I definitely, would recommend to businesses that they want to be as proactive as possible, as Bill said.
Whenever we go about any investment, whether it's on personal lives or in IT or in business, we always look at the cost, the benefits, and the risk associated with it. When we talk about CQI, we see maybe there are fewer risks or the level of risk is low, but the incremental value that's delivered may also not be as significant many times for you to make a case for that. Then secondly, for innovation, that's a high risk, high gain kind of that's how you handle innovation. You got to be a little more entrepreneurial for you to say, let's try it. and while I'm going to invest, but if this becomes successful, of course you go in a planned way, but if it is successful, this is definitely going to give me those big rewards so that nobody is going to come back and say, I told you so, don't try this. So when you go about doing this due diligence, if you will, how do you determine the risk versus the ROI for CQI and innovation, and see whether this particular item in your portfolio of IT resources that you may have, projects, applications, people, how would you go about, you know, putting them on a spreadsheet and say, this is the one which is a candidate for CQI versus this is the candidate which is, you know, due for innovation?
We want to keep the same order, Sanjay.
I mean, you can keep, have Sandra talk, that's fine.
Sure, I'll start. doing any kind of value at risk assessment is challenging for businesses because in many instances it's hard to establish or put a value on a system or application that may not be available or may not be performing at its highest capacity or highest level of performance. So it is a very challenging exercise for any business to go through. But I think what really needs to be done is to prioritize and to really look at, even if it's not, you know, you do it on a scale of like high, medium, low, what's the impact of an application or a system not being available to the business for any period of time, or even having a degradation of performance. And that's the type of assessment that needs to be done. And I think that's one way that businesses can prioritize what really needs focus or what are the areas where we really need to make sure that we're ahead of the curve on innovation and on quality measures and process measures and process improvements to really ensure that our business is operating optimally. And by doing those types of assessments, it can help a business prioritize. So it's hard to put actual, you know, quantitative values around what would be the impact if this went down or that went down, and to use that to help measure, you know, return on investment versus the risk that would impact the business. But there are ways to do it and to make a general idea of, you know, businesses are going to know if, you know, if the email system is down, what impact that's going to have on the business, even if it's not in an actual monetary sense, just in terms of business getting done or not getting done. And those are the types of assessments that businesses and IT departments really need to go through to know, make sure that they have that prioritized list of where things are. And so when they are making and have to make decisions around where are we going to put budget dollars, where are we going to spend the time in terms of quality improvements, in terms of process improvements, and in terms of actual technology innovation, they can make better business cases for that. And it also does help build the business case to get funding for things when you can assign some importance or priority to these areas in terms of what it can do for the business, either in improving productivity or improving performance or improving the customer experience.
Bill?
Well, I think Sandra made a couple key points. And the first one is, you know, many times these things are hard to measure, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's not worth doing. The other key thing she mentioned was priority. And I think, you know, we all have priorities, and, you know, setting priorities is key. Oftentimes that can dictate what we do. But the key I want to mention here quickly is sometimes the risk of doing nothing or not doing an enhancement, either on the CQI side or innovative side, can actually result in more risk than doing it.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the fact that if we are talking in the current economy or in the current business environment, it's almost like we're damned if we innovate or we're not damned if we don't innovate. And we are talking about the very existence of CQI. Does it really need to be there at all? I know in case of Bill, is he has to keep the shop running 24/7, so he can at most do CQI, and there would be little room, if you will, for innovation if he can possibly do that. But in many organizations, which it may not be a 24/7 situation, they could almost always have CQI take the back seat. So let's see if we can challenge it either way. Let's talk when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
In the ever-changing world of real estate, Mark Heller and Brian Church bring to Internet Talk Radio all the latest information, trends, and changes in the real estate market. And these guys pull no punches. That's Real Estate Talk with Mark Heller and Brian Church every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
The Internet's only all-business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is CQI versus Innovation, Catch-22. Our guests for today's show are William Morgan and Sandra Palumbo. Bill is the Executive Vice President and CIO with the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and Sandra is the Program Manager for Global Enterprise Services with the Yankee Group. Before the break, we spoke about damned if we innovate and damned if we don't. That's what the situation in the current business environment, and the stakes are pretty high. So do we ever feel that there would ever be a place for CQI? But yes, there's an exception right here where one of our guests runs the stock exchange, so he cannot innovate as frequently as he does CQI. Bill?
Well, you know, I think as I said before the break, Sanjoy, you know, we have to, especially now with such rapid change going on in the securities business, especially with exchanges, you know, the innovation and CQI is kind of hard to say give percentages to how much we do on either front. Obviously, CQI, given the mission critical nature of what we do and our production environment, is always first and foremost in our minds to keep things very stable and solid and so forth. But on the innovation side, you know, we obviously have to continue to innovate to compete and grow the business.
Sandra?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, the stakes are definitely high, but I think, you know, I think the place in terms of is there a place for CQI in with regard to innovation in the current business environment, I think, you know, there has to be in it. And I think what it is, it needs to be just built into the way of thinking for, you know, the management teams and for the IT departments, that, you know, whether it's just maintaining what we already have or innovating and you know, adding and adopting new technologies, new systems, new applications, what have you, that having good processes, having good procedures, taking, you know, quality improvements in mind and having that in mind as any decision is being made or any work is being done is really critical for businesses. And so I don't think it has to be, you know, an either or situation. I think it fits into whether you're just maintaining the status quo or actually innovating. You know, there is a place for keeping in mind and having as part of the foundation, you know, good quality improvement methods.
There's a perception, or I don't know how much of that is a reality, is CQI gives you long-term results and innovation gives you quick results. And lately, the executive management is kind of losing patience on those big bang 3-year projects for an ERP implementation for them to see that huge ROI. They want bang, bang, bang. This is the kind of initiative we took. This is what the results we got. How do you deal with that kind of an approach? And this is kind of percolating even in the IT leadership and even at the functional and mid-management level, where everybody wants to have instant gratification on the investments that are being made.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that need for instant gratification is just the nature of the world today. You know, with technology, there is, you know, information is pretty much immediate, and data is pretty much immediate, and so businesses and people just want to see a really rapid return on investment or you know, really rapid improvement and implementation, and so we have moved away from, you know, long-term, longer-scale projects in many instances. I think there are definitely some industries, some vertical industries or types of business where that's just not possible given the nature of their business, and you know, therefore they do have to do things a little bit more longer term and stuff just in terms of the nature of the business. But in general, there is this need to, if we're going to implement a new, you know, innovative technology, then we expect to see a rapid return or on investment or rapid improvement in our business. And that's a challenge. You know, it's a big challenge for the decision makers and those that are responsible for actually implementing these innovative technologies and areas, is to be able to make sure that there is going to be some kind of impact to the business, positive impact to the business immediately. And we see that a lot of these things, you know, a lot of the issues influencing businesses' IT and communication strategies are things around, you know, very specific initiatives, whether it's, you know, expanding business operations or, you know, security and compliance initiatives or, you know, supporting mobile and remote workers, what have you. There are these factors in these areas that a lot of businesses just can't even afford to wait on. You know, if it's something around security or regulation, that's not really something that can take 3 or 4 years but needs to be done sooner. You know, and if you have an increasingly diverse, in terms of location and workforce, they do need to be connected and be able to do their business, to do their job functions in a timely and productive manner. And so there are a lot of the business issues that I think that we're seeing are really facing, that businesses are really facing, are things that need to be handled in a shorter time frame anyway.
Well, you know, I think Sandra said a key word, instant gratification. And that seems to be the way of the world. I mean, but, you know, a few things can help with this that we've done here at the Exchange, and I think that executive IT leaders can do. And the first thing is to communicate effectively to the senior executive side and on the business side, and basically communicate in a way and set expectations for projects. I think setting the expectations is very, very important. That way, they know what to expect and when to expect it. So having a solid plan and communicating that plan and setting the right expectations, especially if it's a long-term project, I think are very key. The second thing I would say is phasing projects of large scale. In other words, maybe you can't get a very large scale project done in 6 months, but perhaps you can get the first phase of it done in 6 months, show some progress, maybe have some ROI associated with that. And I think what that ends up doing is actually, you know, showing progress and basically getting more and more buy-in from the executive team as things progress, because they've been able to see some successes and some benefits.
Now, there is another thing which we should introduce here, which we call as hype. You know, we and in this country, we are driven a lot by hype, and in fact, most of the so-called innovation is driven because a new technology, you know, got up to speed, and, you know, people started talking about it, and there's a hype created, and a perception of need versus what we used to call as awareness of need. There was a perception of need created, which says, and there's a buzz created around it, and we say, hey, if we are to innovate, we got to implement this technology. So someplace, the actual business benefit takes a backseat. We take that new technology for which a buzz is created, and we say, if we implement this, we got this benefit out of it. And yes, we may do ROI calculation and things of that nature, but it is so biased and it is so driven by technology that it may sometimes not make sense. So how do we kind of insulate ourselves at IT, as IT leaders, from that buzz, so that we go and see if does the business actually demand that, and does it get that much improvement out of its day-to-day operations or the overall competitive advantage that it can get, that we should even go after that hype? You see what I mean? So
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would, in some ways, I think I kind of disagree with the idea that, you know, businesses innovate because of the hype. And in terms of the businesses that I work with, I see, you know, every once in a while I'll see that's true, but I think what it does, what the hype does is tends to put technologies on someone's, in someone's, you know, list of things to look at and to assess and to consider. And, you know, maybe it's the CEO of a company read an article or taught with golfing with one of their peers and said, oh, we're looking at this, you know, great new technology and you guys should look at this new technology, and that's how it gets put, you know, on the plate of the IT leaders, list of things to look at. And I think that leads businesses to have to investigate and look at these different things. But I still think that in many instances, and based on the needs of the business and just the impact that new technologies can have on a business, do still take a little bit more of a cautious approach to adopting new technologies, even ones that do have a lot of hype around them. And, you know, and I think you can see that with things like, you know, the adoption of, say, voice over IP or something like that. That's a technology that when it first was introduced had tons of hype around it, but even today still has a relatively low total adoption rate in the market. I mean, it's something that, you know, businesses might be using at specific office locations, but in terms of totally adopting, it's not as pervasive of a technology as one would think, considering a lot of the hype that was in the industry around it a few years ago, and in some cases still is. So I think that there's a lot of hype and a lot of talk about it, and, you know, you might have some businesses that'll test out new technologies, but in terms of grand scale adoption, I still think there is a more reasonable approach to it that most businesses are taking, although I'd be interested to see if Phil agrees or disagrees with me on that one.
Well, actually, I do agree with what Sandra said. You know, I think that it's been our experience here that, you know, you hear, you know, certain technologies do get some hype associated with it. And not only technologies, or let me say in our world, certainly what's important to our customers are certain features that might, you know, have a lot of hype in terms of functionality of the system and so forth. And I think the way I think you can flush out the hype versus what you actually have to do is by the CIO taking a leadership role in the actual strategy around those things, getting the facts in terms of what is really the benefit of the technology to the specific business. I mean, it may make sense for one business to do something in the way of a new technology, but it may not make sense for another business to do it. I think getting the facts on the table, facts being in terms of what this technology can actually do for the business, I mean, where does it fit in the grand plan in terms of other priorities, you know, getting that process done in a way that is open and communicating it somewhat formally, I think, to the executive management team. We like to do planning sessions here at the Exchange, getting the different points of view, not just from the technology group, but of course from the business side. I think those things tend to get flushed out that way, and you can actually separate the hype from what it is you really, really need to do.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk a little bit about the new phenomena pertaining to SOA, which is SOA, and virtualization-related, you can say approaches, not necessarily technologies, but just a way you would approach your applications, your infrastructure, and how it is touching every part of your business and IT, and how would you ever keep EQI in the forefront if you were to radically change the way your business thinks and the business works, and also IT thinks and IT works. Let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Succeeding in your business isn't just about making a living. It's a way of life. Hosts Cliff Inenko and Susan Wilson-Solovic discuss the practical as well as the not-so-practical aspects of owning your own business. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Succeeding in Your Business, right here on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is CQI versus Innovation Catch-22, and our guests for today's show are William Morgan and Sandra Palumbo. Bill is the Executive Vice President and CIO with the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and Sandra is the Program Manager, Global Enterprise Services with the Yankee Group. Before the break, we touched SOA, which is SOA, and virtualization, which are the two things especially which are, you know, having a hype around it, and there's a lot of real value that is seen by the industry. And it is also transforming the IT and the business and touching almost every portion of it. In this situation, would you say CQI has any place while we are going about ripping apart literally every business process, for that matter, to make it more service-oriented? And also we're bringing virtualization to change, radically change how we used to ever, you know, manage infrastructure, networking, things of that nature. Sandra.
I believe that CQI has not taken a backseat for now with regard to these things, and I think it's actually a critical piece of a foundation around the development and implementation of these trends. I think given the impact that things like virtualization and SOA put on data centers, on networks, on the various, both the enterprise infrastructure as well as service provider infrastructure, having, you know, quality improvement and assessment of all of those pieces is critical to make sure that the performance of these servers and systems and applications is, you know, remains unabated, and that it doesn't, you don't have any kind of difference in performance or experience as a relation in regards to using a virtualized arrangement as opposed to kind of the more traditional one. And so I think for the success of these, that does need to be part of the foundation that vendors and service providers and businesses themselves that adopt it need to make sure it is taking place and is being placed. Plus, given that these are relatively new technologies, you are going to have a lot of improvements and enhancements and evolution still taking place before they're, you know, kind of fully, before they reach the maturity stage. So, you know, that is the right time to, so right from the beginning, you know, having good processes and continually looking at how things are performing and how things are working needs to take place, because as a technology is evolving, it's a very smart idea to have all that in mind, so when it does reach the maturation stage, it actually matures as a very stable, dependable technology and not as one that still has bugs and tweaks and stuff that needs to be worked out.
Real? Well, you know, I think that another way to look at it, we actually view virtualization, these concepts, as, you know, continuous quality improvements, because in effect, you know, that's what they are. I mean, you know, if you look at the benefits of virtualization, the ability to consolidate multiple servers, the ability to save money, the ability to have more efficient use of software licenses, and again, saving money in that respect, aiding disaster recovery. You know, all those things are significant, and I think that that's where certainly what virtualization has given us. And as a business grows, I know in our environment, you know, our network infrastructure and our server growth has been tremendous. I mean, back in mid-August, the options industry did 2.6 billion, not million, billion. Transactions. We did about a billion of them out of Philadelphia at a rate of about 302,000 a second was the peak rate. You know, there's some very substantial data rates and message transaction volume. So, you know, with that kind of growth, you know, you really have to embrace some of these newer concepts and make sure that you deploy them, again, in a way that is done in a measured, phased, and safe way so as not to disrupt your existing operations.
So we talk about the, you know, infrastructure side, and we spoke about technology. Let's talk about people a little bit. We know the folks who are very process-driven are the ones who have things in order in their mind and the way they deal with things, and they basically like to run in a structured environment. Whereas innovators or the folks who want to be in the innovation team, they are totally of a different type, or they're different species for that matter. They're wired differently. For the two-part question here, one is that when you have to have the innovation and you know, the CQI team put in place, how do you create a culture where both, to some extent, because they will have to interact in some form or fashion, they cannot be isolated totally, how will you create a culture where both of those teams coexist as a company or as an IT organization, a mini organization? Secondly, the fact that you have to do CQI and innovation at different points in time on the same item or in the same business process or on the same technology, if you will, how would you reduce or minimize redundancy? Because there are two different types of people who you want to deal with.
Well, you know, I think that obviously the roles that folks are in have something to say about that. Obviously, our development organizations who are you know, developing new applications, our strategic groups, obviously, you know, innovation and those things, CQI, play a key role because they, you know, they have to have those types of disciplines in mind. Or say maybe our production operations group, who's very focused on the production stability of the environment, maybe they need to think less about that. However, we encourage all our teams to be innovative. I don't know that we haven't separated CQI teams versus say our production operations teams, but I think one of the ways you keep that in line, again, it's a balancing act. I think that setting priorities in terms of what are the key initiatives you have to address to be innovative, to compete. For us, you know, innovation really comes down to being able to compete and being able to grow the business, and that's where, you know, the innovation plugs into our operations here. On the other hand, the production stability of our operating environment, which is highly mission critical, you know, process, quality assurance, change control, responding to mission-critical operations in terms of where seconds, and literally in our business, they milliseconds matter. You know, those things have to be always balanced, and I think it really becomes a culture after a while to balance the two things. I know that kind of sounds a little, you know, hard to understand, but after you get a certain group together and you practice these disciplines, I think the balance becomes apparent. And as I said, there are times when, you know, innovation is and CQI are very focused on, or one or the other, and there are times when the production environment is very focused on. So, you know, I think it's, again, that balancing act is the best way we've been able to achieve it.
Would you ever have a situation where you had to pick up a guy from a CQI team and put him in innovation just because he has the business know-how or the IT know-how for that, versus, and vice versa? And how would you handle that change of environment for that person, and how would you tame that beast if he was an innovation guy and you want him to become more structured? Sure.
We do it all the time. I think that we've done that with our development groups, for example. We've done that with some folks from our communications group and systems administration group, because the mixture of business knowledge and technical knowledge is very, very, very vital to what we do. I mean, I'm very much involved with the business strategy here at the Exchange, so you could argue we do that even at the executive level, where we'll have some high-level business executives involved in some of the things we're doing, and I'll be involved with some of the business strategy because it's so tightly coupled.
So go ahead, Sandra.
I think that the way that Bill is outlining is a smart way to do things, and I would say that you want to have a mix of, you know, different cultures and different viewpoints when you're making decisions that are going to be business impacting. And so you want to have, you know, someone that's really focused more on the quality improvement or even, you know, kind of the existing business infrastructure, and, you know, people that are more kind of innovation forward looking type folks working together on making these types of decisions, or at least coming up with recommendations for the business, because I think, you know, it's healthy to have that kind of debate and have people playing devil's advocate in terms of what is right for the business, so that you can make a fully educated decision or recommendation in terms of what a business should do. And I think that does also help a business make meet that balancing act and set priorities for the business by being able to look at it from multiple perspectives. And I think if you try to keep them separate, you know, you're going to lose some of that ability to handle things against each other and really get to what the right decision is for a business at a given point in time.
I actually have a follow-up question for Sandra on that. Sandra, I know you and your group have done extensive research on networking and telecommunications. I know our business has seen just probably abnormal or phenomenal growth in the infrastructure. I would think you've probably seen that in a lot of sectors. As you see that, do you see a shift one way or the other? I mean, do you see more emphasis on the production side and stability and process versus innovation?
That's a great question. We definitely do see, at least in you know, particular sectors and segments of the market, this, you know, increasing amount of infrastructure and technology being required and being deployed, and businesses do struggle with, you know, what's the right way to do it, what's the right balance to strike. I think what we're seeing, though, is now a lot more focus on trying to get the biggest bang for their buck, and so there is this look at, you know, we're gonna try to keep things as they are, but if we can find some way to either consolidate applications or consolidate resources or kind of pull things together to get a bigger benefit for the scale of things, then that tends to be a lot of the direction that we see businesses going in terms of the infrastructure and technology decisions they're making. So I think that's why we have a lot of folks that are looking at things like virtualization. That's why we do see a lot of interest in things like unified communications or where you're pulling together a lot of different applications and a lot of different technologies and trying to get a bigger, you know, more benefit for the scale, because you do have things increasing in scale and performance, and it takes a lot of resources to support that and manage that. The other thing that we are seeing is a lot more companies looking at things like using a managed service for at least part of their infrastructure, that they can identify areas that are either just too time-consuming for the internal staff to manage or just not even necessarily business critical, but just something that can be identified as, let's take it off of our plates, let's host it somewhere or have someone else remotely manage it, so that, you know, we can focus on other more, you know, business impacting or strategic areas. So that's another trend that we're seeing a lot of businesses look at to try to get their arms around what seems to be the ever increasing infrastructure of businesses.
Now, a question which is just to clarify further. While Sandra, you mentioned that the mix of, I'm coming back to the same, CQI versus innovation kind of different teams. What your answer was related to more on IT decision making or business decision making. But when we come to the implementation side of it, when we need to get people to do things and implement the decisions that we made, at that time, a different type of management is needed to handle folks who are more CQI oriented versus more innovation oriented. Is there something that some tips, if you will, that Bill, you and Sandra would have come across, which people can use? You know, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about a few of those tips, which might be useful for our listeners. How would they handle the two different species, if you will, that exist for innovation and CQI? So please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Small business owners, do you want answers to your most pressing financial concerns? Do you want to stop stressing about money and finally understand how to create wealth? Let Elizabeth Potts Weinstein and the Wealth Spa Radio Show answer your most pressing financial and legal questions about your small business and help you achieve business success and the lifestyle of your dreams easier and faster than you could imagine. The Wealth Spa Radio Show broadcasts live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
Hey, kid, over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're going to waste energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is CQI versus innovation, Catch-22, and our guests for today's show are Bill Morgan and Sandra Palumbo. Bill is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer with the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and Sandra is the Program Manager, Global Enterprise Services with the Yankee Group. We were talking about the implementation side of things. Yes, Sandra and Bill spoke about the decision-making on IT and business. That's where you're allowed to have a good mix of folks who have the CQI bent and also innovation bent. So there could be two different breeds of people, but we want to have all of them in the same room for us to get the best decision made. Now comes the implementation time, where two different types of people are being, you know, to be used. And if we are going to keep them separate, then it's going to introduce redundancy, and our IT portfolio management director is going to come and kill us. But at the same time, if we keep them together, then it will be a nightmare, because people who are not used to structure and they're allowed to go all along in going into uncharted territories, and now they're told to go and work into, you know, a structured environment, they would, their creativity would stifle and they will walk away. And similarly, CQI person going into an innovation route, they may not be able to produce as well. So that's a practical challenge, at least, which can be perceived on the surface. But what is the reality?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I would say, I think, you know, if you're talking about it, when you're talking about just assessing new technologies or being innovative with even existing infrastructure and technologies in an organization, you know, that's something that obviously can be done, you know, by the creative thinker types and stuff. But when you are talking about actually implementing it into a live environment, you know, I think it all begins with having good processes and procedures and controls in place to introduce something new, whether it be innovative or a mature technology. But if you're introducing something that's new to the business environment, you still need to go through the right checks and balances to ensure that it doesn't, you know, negatively impact the business during implementation. You know, I've seen plenty of implementations of new technologies, even mature technologies, fail or cause major outages or degradations of service within businesses because you know, because they didn't get the buy-in from all the different potential stakeholders or business units and groups that would be impacted by it, and keep all that in mind and go through the right processes of alerting the various parties that were going to be impacted or potentially impacted by an implementation of a new technology or service. So I think the right planning and following, you know, policies and processes and procedures for just the way to go about implementing something new is important. And even for, you know, the real innovative thinkers, out-of-the-box thinkers that an organization has, they're still going to need, when it comes time to bring some new technology or innovative technology live with an organization, you do still need to follow some of those procedures to ensure that the business stays up and running when that happens. And so I think you do have to find a way, and it is hard to manage the different personalities and different approaches to things, but, you know, you need to put the needs of the business first before that, and hopefully the team members will understand that and acknowledge that as well.
All good points. I think, you know, the key, the one really key point, I think, is process and controls, because it's those things that allow us to manage the implementation of innovative ideas right from their very inception to the implementation of a new system or a new business line. So I think that, that's the key, because I don't think you want to ever, you know, become complacent or give innovative thinkers or employees who have a lot of, zest to go and innovate and create new things. I don't think you want to, you know, clip their wings, so to speak. I think you want to encourage that. But at the same time, especially when you're in the kind of business we're in, which is very mission critical, you have to have the controls in place, and you have to have those folks that think and put, you know, production stability in the forefront of their minds, probably, and in most cases above innovation. I think you have to make sure that that you support them with proper controls and process in place. So I think that's how you help, with that balance, the balancing we've been talking about. I think that's one way you kind of allow both to coexist.
Talking about the fact that we have to deal with multiple teams, but one executive management, how do you go back and tell them that I have the CQI initiative, or that CQI is not an initiative, something which is ongoing, and keep opening your checkbook and keep signing checks for us for that purpose, versus going back for innovation where it is a high-risk proposition, we don't know what's going to happen, but let's try it regardless? It's a constant battle, I guess. You must be fighting pretty frequently, Bill. How do you handle and educate them on either or?
Well, I think the there's a couple key components. First of all, I think you have to, let's take the CQI side, for example. Executive management is almost always interested in, growing the business, having revenue, having ROI, and I think what you need to do there is, bring those kind of initiatives forward that are going to demonstrate efficiency or some type of return on investment. And one of the ways I think you do that is obviously to communicate in a formal sense. We like to do it with planning sessions here where we have the right executive management at the table. I think you make them part of that process so that they understand and appreciate what you're trying to do. And, of course, you have to show progress. You have to show that there's benefits. And the way we've had a lot of success here with phasing projects where we'll have, say, a year or two-year initiative, but it'll be delivered in multiple phases so that we can, in a gradual way, introduce new technologies, new efficiencies, and things like that, and see some of the benefits of it. And sometimes you have to adjust course along the way. But I think that helps initial communication and doing it in somewhat of a formal way helps get buy-in, and then by having phased implementations, I think you show progress. On the innovative side, I think it's in many ways the same, although many innovative ideas could be easier to sell because they have the promise of revenue, of making more money and things like that. So I think in that case, at least on the business side, I think the process is the same. You have to communicate, you have to lay out the plan, and you have to demonstrate progress along the way. And you have to make executive management feel part of the process. I think that's a key thing the CIO has to do. He or she has to bridge the gap between technology and business, and basically demonstrate, whether it's a business project, a technical project, how it's going to benefit the business, how it's going to make money, how it's going to result in efficiencies, but basically get everybody on the same team.
Now, one very quick last question. We are seeing there's a disruption in the way we used to do business, and we're losing control because of whether you're doing outsourcing, offshoring, whether outsourcing within the country and all that. So is there anything which is going to be impacting adversely or in a positive manner for CQI or innovation or both? Sandra?
I think it can go. You can go either way, depending on who you do business with and who you're partnering with and relying on. If you know if you are choosing to do outsourcing or offshoring, you want to partner or use a provider that has a similar approach and similar viewpoint that you do, or can actually improve the way you do things. And so I think there's plenty of businesses or service providers out there that are really looking at service delivery and service management frameworks and really trying to follow best practices in how they deploy technologies and support customers and things like that. And I think it's imperative for a business to really that is considering doing this but also does want to remain innovative and have good quality improvement processes maintained needs to make sure that they're aligning themselves with a provider that matches to that and shares that same vision and viewpoint. And it can't just be a technical decision or even purely a cost decision or price decision, because you do want to make sure that it's a service provider that's going to support your beliefs and help actually move your business along and not hinder the innovation and development of your business. And so it really means that businesses that are considering going in that down that path really need to do their homework and make sure that they are establishing good relationships with the providers that they're considering using and not just pick someone because they might be the cheapest or have to be the most popular in an area. If they don't have the same approaches to things, the same belief and processes and innovation and give you the flexibility that your business may need, they may not be the right partner for you. And then you may have to be sacrificing innovation or quality. And that's a decision that the business needs to make. But, I think there are ways to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, I think what most of our systems here have been custom developed by us, and that's because it's very difficult to find it outside. But there have been a few projects that we have outsourced and have went offshore with, and the way that we've been able to maintain or manage that is very simple. We require those folks doing that work, whether offshore, whether here in the United States, that we've outsourced to, that they have to follow our system development methodology, all of our change control and internal procedures, and quite often we'll have our own project manager managing the project and responsible for it. That's the way we've been able to do it.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Bill and Sandra, for sharing your thoughts about how to best mix the CQI and innovation approaches and strategies in IT to ensure the maximum ROI and the total cost of ownership for such investments. Now,
being here.
Great. Thank you so much. Now, while in some ways CQI and innovation are synonymous, that is, as we discussed, like CQI on steroids could be called as innovation, but the people and processes required to successfully run either initiative belong to different planets, and this could possibly lead to redundancy, but we have ways to balance that as well. In addition, getting executive management to buy into either one is a challenge many a times, especially as we are now watching every penny that is being spent on IT. Is there something like a best mix, or is one better versus the other? It all depends. What do you think? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.